Let's read together Ezekiel chapter 15. In this chapter, Ezekiel gives the first of three parables to illustrate the fact that the nation of Judah, including the city of Jerusalem, was ripe for judgment. Here we have the parable of the fruitless vine. Ezekiel chapter 15, beginning at verse 1. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, how is the wood of the vine better than any other wood? The vine branch, which is among the trees of the forest. Is wood taken from it to make any object? Or can men make a peg from it to hang any vessel on? Instead, it is thrown into the fire for fuel. The fire devours both ends of it, and its middle is burned. Is it useful for any work? Indeed, when it was whole, no object could be made from it. How much less will it be useful for any work when the fire has devoured it, and it is burned? Therefore, thus says the Lord God, like the wood of the vine among the trees of the forest, which I have given to the fire for fuel, so I will give up the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and I will set my face against them. They will go out from one fire, but another fire shall devour them. Then you shall know that I am the Lord, when I set my face against them. Thus I will make the land desolate, because they have persisted in unfaithfulness, says the Lord God. Let's begin our study of this chapter, Ezekiel chapter 15, with some background notes. In Ezekiel chapter 14, we had two messages of judgment that the Lord directed Ezekiel to give to the elders of the Jews in Babylon. Remember, these Jews were already captives in Babylon, even though Jerusalem was still standing and the temple of the Lord had not yet been destroyed. The Jewish elders in Babylon were responsible to be the spiritual and moral leaders of the captives, but they themselves were practicing idolatry. Not open idolatry, but idolatry of the heart. As a result, the Lord said that he would not answer or give guidance to these elders or anyone else who practiced secret idolatry. Look back at chapter 14, verses 7 and 8. For anyone of the house of Israel or of the strangers who dwell in Israel who separates himself from me and sets up his idols in his heart and puts before him what causes him to stumble into iniquity, then comes to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. I will set my face against that man and make him a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off from the midst of my people. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Ezekiel 14, 7 and 8. What a lesson for us today. Let me ask you, do you have any hidden idols, idols of the heart? Well, if you do, don't expect God to answer your prayers or give you guidance. Anything on your priority list that is higher than God is an idol. God will not give guidance to those who are practicing idolatry of the heart. Is it possible that God is not answering your prayers for guidance because there is some hidden idolatry in your life? Good question for all of us, isn't it? Now here in Ezekiel chapter 15, Ezekiel's denunciation of the nation of Judah continues. In chapters 15, 16, and 17, Ezekiel gives three parables to portray the sad moral and spiritual condition of the nation. In chapter 15, we have the parable of the fruitless vine. Israel was like a vine planted in the land of Canaan. God intended them to bear spiritual fruit and to be a light to the nations. In Psalm 80, verses 8 and 11, we read, You have brought a vine out of Egypt. You have cast out the nations and planted it. You prepared room for it and caused it to take deep root, and it filled the land. The hills were covered with its shadow, and the mighty cedars with its boughs. She sent out her boughs to the sea, and her branches to the river. Psalm 80, verses 8 through 10. But Israel did not continue to bear spiritual fruit. In fact, idolatry was already creeping into the nation by the end of King Solomon's reign. God raised up the prophets to rebuke the people for their fruitless condition. Listen to the words of Hosea, in Hosea chapter 10, Israel empties his vine. He brings forth fruit for himself according to the multitude of his fruit. Their heart is divided. Now they are held guilty. Hosea chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. And remember Isaiah's parable of the vineyard in Isaiah chapter 5. I'm reading Isaiah 5, verses 1 through 7. Now let me sing to my well-beloved, a song of my beloved regarding his vineyard. My well-beloved has a vineyard on a very fruitful hill. He dug it up and cleared out its stones and planted it with the choicest vine. He built a tower in its midst and also made a wine press in it. So he expected it to bring forth good grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, please, between me and my vineyard. What more could have been done to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Why then, when I expected it to bring forth good grapes, did it bring forth wild grapes? And now, please, let me tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away its hedge, and it shall be burned, and break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned or dug, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain on it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his pleasant plant. He looked for justice, but behold oppression, for righteousness, but behold a cry for help. Isaiah 5, verses 1 through 7. Jeremiah also denounced the fruitless condition of the nation. I'm reading Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 21. Yet I had planted you a noble vine, a seed of highest quality. How then have you turned before me into the degenerate plant of an alien vine? Jeremiah 2, 21. Now, with this prophetic background in view, Ezekiel gave the parable of the fruitless vine here in Ezekiel chapter 15. Everyone who was listening to Ezekiel knew exactly who was intended by the fruitless vine. Well, so much for background. Let's move now to our doctrinal or teaching points for Ezekiel chapter 15. Doctrinal or teaching point number one, a fruitless vine is good for nothing. A fruitless vine is good for nothing. Verses 2 and 3 once again. Son of man, how is the wood of the vine better than any other wood? The vine branch which is among the trees of the forest. Is wood taken from it to make any object? Or can men make a peg from it to hang any vessel on? Did you ever go to the lumber yard and order some vine wood? Of course not. Grapevine wood is notoriously useless. You can't make furniture or cabinets out of vine wood. You can't build a house out of vine wood. You can't even make a peg for the wall from vine wood. As soon as the wood dries, the peg will have no strength. Vine wood is good for nothing, and that's the point. A grapevine is good for only one thing, to bear fruit while it is living. Once the vine is dead, it is worthless. A fruitless vine is good for nothing. Israel was God's vine, but they were not bearing fruit. They were good for nothing. Therefore, God would let his people go into captivity. Many of the Jews thought that God would never let this happen. After all, they were God's people, and they had the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem. But God said, I'm so sorry. It's not that you're my people, and it's not that you have the temple in Jerusalem. The bottom line is, are you bearing fruit? God said that the bottom line was fruit bearing. As God's people, they were to bear spiritual fruit. If they didn't bear fruit, they would be removed, because they were good for nothing. In John 15, verse 5, the Lord Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. As Israel was to bear spiritual fruit, so we as Christians are to bear spiritual fruit. The fruit of the Spirit should be seen in our lives, and we should be productive in the service of the Lord. The Lord said in verse 2 of John 15, Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. The phrase takes away here does not mean loss of salvation, but either picked up or removed as in the death of a Christian. In any case, the point is that a believer's purpose in life is to bear spiritual fruit. Let me ask you today, is that your purpose in life? Or do you have a more selfish purpose for living? A fruitless vine is good for nothing. Doctrinal point number two, a fruitless vine is given to the fire. a fruitless vine is given to the fire. Verses 6 and 7. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, like the wood of the vine among the trees of the forest, which I have given to the fire for fuel, so I will give up the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and I will set my face against them. They will go out from one fire, but another fire shall devour them. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I set my face against them. What can you do with a fruitless vine? Nothing. You burn fruitless vines. In verses 4 and 5, the Lord said that the nation had already been subjected to the fire and charred at both ends. Most likely, this is a reference to the fact that Judah had been attacked both from the south and from the north. Egypt from the south and Assyria and Babylon from the north. And now the middle of the vine, namely Jerusalem, was also charred, but the worst was yet to come. Nebuchadnezzar had attacked Jerusalem in 605 BC and in 597 BC, but the final attack and the burning of Jerusalem would take place in 586 BC. A fruitless vine is given to the fire. In John chapter 15, verse 6, the Lord Jesus said, "If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned." This verse is not teaching that true believers can lose their salvation, but it is either a reference to professing Christians, that is, unbelievers, who will suffer eternal loss in hell, or it's a reference to unfaithful Christians who are not abiding in Christ and not producing fruit. In this case, it is their fruitless works that are burned up. To abide in Christ means to obey Him and keep His word, something that all Christians do not do. As a Christian, you can waste your life. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 teaches that believers can build on the foundation of Christ and do good works and receive reward, or they can do selfish, fruitless works that will not count for reward at the judgment seat of Christ. If you're a true Christian, but not producing any fruit, you can't lose your salvation, but all your fruitless works will be burned up. A fruitless vine is given to the fire. What about practical application from Ezekiel chapter 15? Where's the fruit? Where's the fruit? Remember the popular ad that used that phrase, "Where's the beef?" The point of the ad was that fast food hamburgers may look good on the outside and be packaged up in an attractive way, but the bottom line is the content of beef. What good is a great-looking hamburger if there's no beef? Now, do you see the parallel with "Where's the fruit?" Many Christians talk a good line and live a pretty good life, but the bottom line is, where's the fruit? Fellow believers here today, that will be the bottom line question at the judgment seat of Christ. Where's the fruit? Not how financially successful you were. Not how many degrees you had after your name. Not how popular or well-known you were, but where's the fruit? The Lord is the vine and we are the branches. Now where's the fruit?